Well, good morning. Welcome to Birch Ridge Community Church. My name is Milt, and I'm really glad that you are here today, both in person and online. Welcome. We, this morning, are beginning a new series that I absolutely, fully believe that the Holy Spirit has guided in this for this season, for this time. And it's a series called Identity, and in the series, we're going to talk about a number of things. We're going to begin by talking about a few of the lies that the devil will tell us in an effort to steal our true identity in Christ. And then we're going to spend some weeks, and Easter will be in the middle of there, we'll spend some weeks talking about some of the most amazing, awesome characteristics or attributes of our true identity in Christ, and helping us to be reminded of just who we are, so that when the devil comes knocking and he tells us things, we can say, no, right? Today, we're going to be looking at the lie that the devil tells us, and that is the lie that I'm just not good enough. No matter how I try, no matter what I do, no matter how long I go at it, I am just not good enough. I got to be honest and say that this has affected me personally over the years quite a bit. It's affected me as a father, as I think about how many times I have let my kids down. It's affected me as a husband, as I think about how many times I've missed it and missed opportunities to bless my wife, and how many times I've let her down. It's affected me as a preacher of the gospel. This became so vividly clear and self-aware early in my career, like before I actually started preaching on a regular basis. One time my phone rang, and it was a pastor in a local church, and he said he was going on a little vacation with his family to Nebraska and asked me if I'd be willing to come and preach at his church in a couple weeks. And I said, I would be honored. It would be great. That'd be wonderful. And so I was excited, and I showed up at this church, and it was not only an older congregation, but an older building. And there was probably 15 steps to get up into the church. No ramp, no elevator, just steps. And I stood there at the top of the steps. It was a nice spring day, and I remember seeing this little old lady, and she was on the bus, like she was on the struggle bus, like she was having a difficult time just walking, and I could see, and I'm like, there's these steps. And so I decided I'm going to trot down these steps and help her up. And so I got down there, and I said, ma'am, can I help you up these steps? And she took my arm, and we started, and she goes, each week this just gets harder and harder. These steps are just so terrible, she said, but it's worth it to hear my pastor. I just love listening to my pastor preach. We get to the top of the steps where Pastor Dave normally is, and he is not. And she says, where's Pastor Dave? And I said, well, he's in Nebraska with his family this week. And she says, who's preaching the word? And I said, I am. And she grabbed my arm, and she said, young man, will you help me down these steps? And she was out of there. No fake. If you've ever heard that little voice saying, it doesn't matter what you do, you're just not good enough, that was pretty loud and clear. But it gets better. After I planted a church, I remember, you know how it's kind of churchy tradition for the pastor to go and stand at the door, and sometimes I'll go over there and we'll greet as you go, and sometimes you guys will lie really, really well and say, good job, preacher, you know, and stuff like that. Well, I remember early on in my career when I planted this church, I just knew that I wasn't that good, right? I remember one of my best friends that helped me plant the church, he's like, Milt, you stand there with your hands in your pockets and you say, so I was like, I'm not going to go stand at the door and put people in a vulnerable, position to have to lie and say, good job, preacher. So I just never stood at the door. Like, church would get over and I just kind of, right? But after several months, there was, I just remember there was something, there was a message, and it was like this voice that said, Milt, I don't think that one stunk. I think you could go stand at the door. And so I remember getting close to the end of the message, and I was getting excited. I'm going to go stand at the door and greet people. I am ready to hear someone say good message, right? And so I finished, and I went to the door, and there was this little old lady, a different lady. Her name was Joyce, and just disclaimer, she stayed from the beginning all the way until her health was too poor to make it to church, okay? But she was the first one that came to the door because she sat towards the back, and we were still meeting in the middle school at this time. And she walked up to me, and I stuck my hand out, and she took my hand, and she said, nice try. It was like she had that pin, you know? And it was in those moments that I heard louder than ever, Milt, it doesn't matter what you do, how hard you try, how long you do it, you are just not good enough. I'm going to invite you to help me recite our family declaration, and we'll get started this morning. Everybody ready? Your word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Therefore, I will hide your word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. There is a verse of scripture that is going to guide us through this series, and I'm wondering if you would help me recite this verse out loud. It's going to be on the screen. It's John chapter 10 in verse 10, perhaps a familiar verse, but it'll guide us through this series. Everybody ready? Help me out. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. For those of you who have ever felt those feelings like I'm just not good enough, I want us to pause and consider a story from one of the heroes of our faith, Moses. But before we look at just a little bit of his story, I'm also going to mention this, that there is a thought, a phrase, if you will, that will guide us through at least the first part of this series. And if you're taking notes, it is this: a lie believed as truth will affect you as if it were true. Hopefully that'll be on the screen here in a moment. A lie believed as truth will affect you as if it were true. God himself gave Moses this clear instruction that he was going to be the one that God was going to use to deliver the people of Israel out of captivity, out of bondage. Listen, as Moses felt the same way that perhaps some of you either feel or have felt. Exodus chapter 4 in verse number 10. But Moses pleaded with the Lord. Oh Lord, I'm not very good with words. I never have been, and I'm not now, even though you have spoken to me. I get tongue-tied and my words get tangled. And this is the verse of scripture which helped me create the word that I created called intertwangled. Just so you know. Where did that come from? I invented it, I think. I've never... And it came from this. It's just this mix. Moses is like, everything I try saying, it just gets all intertwangled and messed up. And please don't put me in front of people because I'm just going to mess it up. I get nervous. I stutter. I say the wrong words first. It just doesn't come out right. There are probably dozens of people, God, that you could use to deliver your people. Please choose someone else. That's what Moses is saying. Like, God, pick someone else. I'm just not good enough. And the truth of the matter is, no matter where and how you sit today, there probably has been moments where you've heard that voice saying, you know what, you're just not good enough. You're just not good enough. And so many of us believe that lie as if it were truth, because so many times for many of us, we base our worth on a couple of things. If you're taking notes, we base our worth on what people say about us. We base our worth on what people say about us. Now, maybe some of you are, maybe you were brought up with parents who were very encouraging and affirming and loving and told you all those wonderful things of how proud they were, how good of a job you did, how handsome or pretty, how smart, how you're going to do great and amazing things. And if you had parents or grandparents that brought you up like that, kudos, that's awesome. So glad for you. But for every one of you that had parents or grandparents like that, there are two, sometimes three, that grew up hearing different. Like, you are such a disappointment. You're never going to amount much of anything. You're probably going to find yourself in prison one day. Why can't you be more like your brother? Why can't you be more like your sister? And so many actually heard these lies for so long and so many times that they actually began to believe them as truth, because we began to base our worth on what people said about us. We base our worth on what other people say about us. And number two, we base our worth on past experiences. We base our worth sometimes on past experiences. Sometimes, you know, if we look back and we're like, yeah, I remember growing up, we didn't have anything. You know, it was beans and rice, and sometimes we didn't even have the beans, right? You know, it was bad growing up, and we didn't have much. And so you'll hear this voice telling you that you're never going to have anything. You're always going to be broke. You're always going to be poor. You're always going to be in need. You're never going to have enough. And maybe it was something like that. Maybe in school you didn't get awesome grades, and maybe you did try really hard, but you struggled. And you'll continue to hear that voice say, "Why go to college? You know, why continue in education? You're dumb as a rock. You're never going to amount to anything. You're never going to get good grades." Maybe you had dreams of one day having this awesome marriage, but then, living in a broken and messed up world, you found yourself going through a divorce. And now you feel like a failure. And it feels like when you walk around, you have this great big D stamped to your forehead. And just proves that you're just not good enough. Moses battled with these things, just like so many of us. And what's interesting to me, though, is God spoke affirming words. He is that awesome parent who spoke positive, affirming words to Moses. Well, check this out, Exodus chapter 4 and verse 11, as we keep reading. "Then the Lord asked Moses, 'Who makes a person's mouth? Who decides whether people speak or do not speak, hear or do not hear, see or do not see? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go! I will be with you as you speak, and I will instruct you in what to say.'" God's like, "Moses, you got this. I picked you on purpose. You are the man for the job. You are the one for such a time as this. Moses, I will be with you. You can do this." Now, you'd think that Moses would be like, "You're right, God. Oh, man. I don't know what I was thinking. You know, you're God, I'm not. You're the creator, I'm your creation. You said I can, right?" Surely that's what Moses is going to say next, right? Verse 13, what's he say? "But Moses again pleaded, 'Lord, please send anyone else.'" Even after Moses spoke these words of affirmation, "You got this, bro," Moses is like, "No, I'm not good enough. Please send someone else." Can you read between the lines? "I'm just not good enough. Please send someone else. I'm just going to embarrass myself, and I'm going to embarrass the kingdom, embarrass others. I'm not going to do justice to anything." And so many times, so many of us, and that's why I felt this series in such a time as this was Holy Spirit guided, because I just know that there are people in our community and in our church that are currently experiencing feelings like this, like, "I'm just not good enough. Why would I try to do that? Why should I attempt this? Why? I'm just not good enough. Just plain not good enough." Can I remind you of something? You are not who the world says you are. You are not who the devil says you are. You are not who people say that you are. Why, you're not even who you say you are when you look in the mirror most times. You are who God says you are. And I think you've heard me go on my little spiel sometimes, well, those things that God says about you. But what is it that God says about you? Three things really quick. What is it that God says about you? Number one, you are called by Christ. You are called by Christ. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10. After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace who what? Yeah, the God of all grace who called you to his eternal glory in Christ will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be dominion forever and ever. Amen. Christ himself is calling you. So when you hear that little voice saying, why bother? Just throw in the towel. Call it quits. You'll never be able to do it. You're just not good enough. You'll never will be. It doesn't matter how long you try. No matter what you do, you'll never be good enough. You say, no. Watch this. You are so incredibly special that Jesus has you on his mind. That he has you in his heart. That he loves you. He cares for you. He came for you. He lived for you. He died for you. He rose from the dead for you. And he has called you. Need some more? How about 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9? It says, but you are a what? You are a chosen race. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has what? For him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Number one, you are called by Christ. Turn to somebody and say, I'm called. You have been called by Christ. Number two, you are capable through Christ. Now turn to somebody and say, you're capable. Come on, y'all. Turn to somebody and say, you're capable. Hey? You are capable through Christ. Once again, when you hear that voice saying, you aren't good enough, you can't do it, you never measure up, just throw in the towel, call it quits, do something else because this isn't it. No. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13 says what? For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Now, taken out of context, but put into this thought. It's not in our strength. In context, it's in his strength. It's pointing to what we can do isn't because of who we are or our own power or strength. It's reliant upon him. It's not this health, wealth, and prosperity gospel that says, I can do everything. I can become a this. I can do it. No, it's just saying whatever you do and whatever you can do isn't because of your power and strength. It's because of him inside of you. Amen? I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Romans chapter 8 and verse 37 says, no, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours. How? Through Christ who loved us. Overwhelming victory is ours, not because we're good, not because we're capable, not because I'm good enough. It's through Christ who loves us. One of the greatest goals of our spiritual enemy is to talk you out of all the great things that God wants you to do. One of the greatest goals of the enemy is to convince you that you are not good enough, that you should quit, you should do something else. You're not smart enough, you're not tall enough. You're not educated enough. You've got this in your past. You've got that. You're disqualified. Adakamos. Do something else. And our response needs to be, no, I am more than capable through Christ. I have to be really honest with you. Over the years, I have heard the devil tell me that. You're not good enough. And you all know me, I'm a type A personality. I'm kind of stubborn. I'm like, oh yeah? I am, right? And I would try all the harder to show the devil that he was full of it. Can I tell you one of the greatest victories I've ever experienced? Is when I told him he was right. For a change. In my own strength, in my own power, I'm not good enough. All by myself, I can't do anything except fail miserably. But with the power and strength of the Holy Spirit, the one true living God living in me, oh, the amazing things that God can do. Amen? We got a two for one right there. Number one, you admit that you can't do anything without him. And number two, you give the devil that false sense of security that he's right about something for a change. You're going to keep on spewing his lies, and we're going to keep identifying him as a liar and a father of lies. It's the same for you. So many people trying to do things in their own strength. I can't tell you how many times I've heard, I should be able to do this. You know, I'm strong, I'm capable. I should be able to do this on my own. I don't need that. I don't need that. I don't need you. I don't need a community. I don't need a church. I don't need to go to, I should be able to do this on my own. I should just, you know, if it's meant to be, it's up to me. I just got to pull myself up by my bootstraps and make it happen. And then they start to believe the lie of the evil one. See, I told you, you're just not good enough. We say, no, 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 no. You are called by Christ. You are capable through Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 4. Such confidence we have through Christ toward God. Not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God, who also made us adequate as servants of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Our adequacy, our confidence comes from God. Do you see the power in this? When we recognize, yes, I'm not good enough on my own. I need God. I need God's help. I need God's power. I need God's Spirit inside of me to be the dad that I need to be. I need God's help. I need God's power. I need his Spirit. I need his patience. I need his love to be the husband that my wife needs. I need God's power. I need God's Spirit. I need God's anointing. I need his wisdom and his insight and his discernment to be a shepherd of God's people. I can't do this on my own. I can't do anything but fail you miserably on my own. Our adequacy comes from Christ and him alone. So you are capable, you are called by Christ, you are capable through Christ, and number three, you are complete in Christ. You are complete in Christ. Never forget this, church. In Christ, you are absolutely complete. That's where we sometimes get in this mistaking word of perfect. Does that mean sinless? No, 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 no. It's complete. I am the package put together that God designed. On purpose, intentional, just the way I am. No hair and all. Right? And look at you. Beautiful people, but all different, and God put you together just the way you are on purpose, intentionally, because that's what he wanted in you. He called you. He created you. You are capable, and you are complete in him. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 says, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. Did you catch that? God has given us everything. We don't learn enough to live a godly and holy life. We don't discipline ourselves enough to live a godly and holy life. We don't torture ourselves enough to live a godly and holy life. We don't learn about it. We don't muster it up. We have received. all of this by coming to know Him, the one who called us to Himself by means of His marvelous glory and excellence. Isn't the Word of God beautiful? Church, I'm going to read it again. By His divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know Him, the one who called us to Himself by means of His marvelous glory and excellence. How many of you have ever seen the movie Jerry Maguire? Sinners. That has a sex scene and foul language. I never saw it. I just heard about it. I'm just kidding. But remember that sappy line in there where Tom Cruise comes into the living room with all these ladies sitting there? And he says that sappy line, you, no, the next line, you what? You complete me, right? And then she comes along and she says the line back, you had me at hello, right? See, you saw it, right? Great line, Tom, bad application. People do not complete you, Christ does. Things do not complete you, Christ does. Money cannot complete you, Christ does. What are you missing this morning? What are you lacking this morning? Acceptance? Rainfall of blessings? Contentment? Comfort? Peace, security, all of these things are found in Christ, in Him alone. Don't look the world over, because you won't find anything but fake imitations of the true things that only God can provide. All of these things are found in Christ, in Him alone. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. So you are also, what's the word? Complete. You are also complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. You are complete in Christ. The devil will tell you you're not good enough. Throw in the towel. It doesn't matter what you do, how you try, how many times you try it, how long you pursue it, you're not good enough. You need to remember you're not who the world says you are. You're not who the devil says you are. You're not who your friends say you are. You're not who you say you are. You're who God says you are. He says you are called by Christ. He reminds us that we are called. Specifically, we're capable through Christ, and in Him we are complete. For next week, there's some verses for you to look up and spend some time meditating on and preparing for next week. But I just want to pray over you, especially for those who maybe have recently heard those words, that lie. That you're not good enough. Father, again, I know it's only through you, through your strength and your power, that anything good and lasting and of eternal value can happen in this place. And for that wonderful, amazing person who has been hearing, maybe since childhood, lies about how they look or how they talk or how slow they are or how much they don't know or how much they mess up or what their future is never going to be like, for all of the times, God, that they have heard the lies of the devil and the lies of the world. May you in this moment speak truth. That you created them incredibly beautiful and wonderful, all the way in their mother's womb. You created them to be who they are today. And they are called by you, chosen. Capable of doing amazing things through you. And most importantly, in you, they are complete. They have all that they need. God, speak those words of affirmation and love and acceptance into that child today. Into that man, into that woman, into that wife, into that widow. Every person who has heard or is hearing the lie that they'll never be good enough, God, may you drown it out with your truth. May you destroy it with your truth. Help us, Lord, to walk out of these doors into church. The community we live in is our mission field. Help us to walk out there with the boldness and confidence that you are in us and you are for us, and you will give us the power and strength that we need to do what you want us to do in the community in which we live. And help us to walk in that confidence. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to read a few words that maybe some older time churches may have proclaimed every week. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you His favor and give you His peace. You are awesome in Christ.